Hello and welcome to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. I'm Ness Jones. I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, and you can find me on Facebook under the same name. And with me today is...
Hi, it's Sarah from the UK. I'm from, where am I from? Separation Anxiety Solutions, and the same, you can find me on Facebook and on Instagram. And I am with...
Hi, I'm Stacey Bell in the US with Focused Fun. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Focused Fun Dogs, and my website is focusedfun.net. Today, we are talking about separation anxiety. Woo! Big shocker there, but in seniors. So we'll talk about some of the additional factors that we might want to look at there, and that kind of thing. So let's do it.
Cool.
I'm feeling very eloquent today.
You can tell.
Yeah, thanks.
Sarah, we might just mention your mic for the listeners. What's happening on your end?
I have no microphone. I'm having to do this on my phone because my laptop is having... I think my laptop's having a senior moment.
Could be.
Technical issues.
Definitely technical issues in a big way. So all you can see is the top of my head if you were looking at me. And hopefully you can hear me. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, we love you so much that we don't even care if your mic isn't great. Let's talk about seniors. What are some of the things that we might consider differently with seniors than with non-seniors? So puppies or adolescents or just kind of those middle years. Do you guys have feedback on that or things that you usually look at?
I've been having a nosy around today and other days, and I've also had some senior dogs in the past. And it's that, you know, catching the difference between separation anxiety in seniors and what's often called doggy dementia being, or doggy Alzheimer's, which would be canine cognitive dysfunction, otherwise known as sundowning. Which is where they show very similar signs to separation anxiety. They can have increased anxiety, you know, the less ability to cope with changes in the environment. And sometimes you can have toilet accidents or more vocalization. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It's important that you recognize the difference between the cognitive dysfunction and separation anxiety. So the first thing, I think, especially if you've got an older dog, is to go to the vet and make sure there's nothing going on there.
Yeah, I think so too. So when we're talking about senior dogs, how are you defining that category? Because that can be really tough. I think, you know, for me, because I usually deal with larger dogs, I kind of think of it as 7+ years, but I know with smaller dogs, 7 might be just squarely middle-aged, you know. So I do think that there is a range there, but 7 is probably the low end. And with smaller dogs, 7 might not even really be considered a senior. What do y'all think about that?
Absolutely. Bigger dogs mature later in life, but they also seem to hit their seniors earlier in life mm-hmm. than a smaller dog, which you know, might actually not really be considered a senior until they're maybe 12, 13 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing. And I do think every time that I'm working with a a pet parent who thinks their senior dog may have separation anxiety, I highly recommend a vet visit to rule out a lot of things. One of them is cognitive decline or canine cognitive dysfunction.
Especially if the dog didn't have separation anxiety throughout its life and then suddenly appears to have separation anxiety. I mean, it's unlikely that it is separation anxiety. In that case, it probably is more likely to be some sort of cognitive dysfunction. And you can pretty much say that simply because they didn't have it earlier. And it's, if they're suddenly developing it, then you've got to find out why the causal reason.
And so I think, you know, when we're looking at separation anxiety, we've talked about a lot of the things that we see there, right? And so, you know, with our seniors, we're saying, just want to make sure we're ruling out, you know, have there been any big life changes? You know, have you been through a move recently? Has somebody moved in or out of the house? So we still want to use those kind of rule outs, but we also want to be looking at other behaviors. So some of the big, I think, distinguishers between separation anxiety and cognitive dysfunction would be like the disorientation or confusion that dogs who are declining cognitively would show, right? So some of the behaviors are same between cognitive dysfunction and separation anxiety, maybe increased anxiety, increased barking, maybe some accidents. Those types of things are the same, but the things that are different would be like some disorientation or confusion. Sometimes there's a decrease in appetite or decreased desire to play, which kind of comes with age too. So that one's not as clear cut, but another one that is like the routines that you had, or if there were routes that you would commonly walk, like the dog might not seem like they remember those, like house rules. If you had the house rules, your dog might not seem to remember them. Or if you had a familiar walk that you walk through your neighborhood or whatever, your dog might seem a little bit off there. And then also changes in sleep is another really common one with cognitive dysfunction.
That's a big one.
So, I think it's a really big one. It's a really big one. The other thing besides cognitive dysfunction, well, so with cognitive dysfunction, that's something, go to your vet, speak about the behavioral history and let them help you kind of suss that out. I believe there are medications that your vet can give you to help your dog, as well as some proposed diet changes and that kind of thing. So definitely, it's not, it is something that you can not stop it all the way, but you can certainly intervene. So that. The other thing that I was thinking about, and this goes same way, vet visit to help figure it out, is pain. We know that there is a link between pain and anxiety. So even if your dog has struggled with separation anxiety in the past and you're seeing a return of that, it could be that pain has kind of kicked that off for them.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the things there is that sometimes it's hard to diagnose pain because, you know, for some dogs, they go to a vet and, well, first of all, dogs are really good, animals in general are really good at hiding pain. But second of all, when they go to the vet, they might feel tense anyway. So it's really hard for the vet to manipulate them and check range of motion and those sorts of things. So sometimes, you know, and this is definitely not our lane, but some vets will do like a pain medication trial to see how your dog does on pain meds. You know, if they respond well, then we know that there was underlying pain. And if they have no response to the pain meds, then not. So that's one way of going about.
I think that comes back to being really well-versed and fluent in what your dog looks like when it's well, so you can tell what it looks like when it's unwell.
Yes.
And I mean, I say that in about dogs in general, no matter how old they are, make sure you know what your dog looks like when it's at its healthiest and happiest. So mentally and physically, I guess, so that you know when it's not. So that, you know, I just really encourage my owners to really observe their dogs thoroughly.
Yeah, and it's tricky though, because it's kind of like weight gain, like that it can happen so slowly that you don't necessarily realize the change. And I guess that's why it's like, it's kind of fun to go back and look at videos and say, oh, wow, look at how my dog was moving here. Look at, you know, what they were doing. And gosh, you know, there's been a big change there. So yeah, I think you're right to observe. But I do think the difficulty is that sometimes these things happen so slowly that, like, even if you're trying to be a good observer, you just really don't see it.
That's one of the big advantages of modern life with our smartphones, isn't it? Is that we can film everything. You know, I mean, how many millions of pictures and films of your dog have you got on your phone?
Yep. Yep.
I cannot count how many photos I have of my dog sleeping. I don't know. I just, oh, that looks cute. I'll just take a quick snap of that. I've got so many photos of my dog sleeping. It's ridiculous.
I mean, we've got proper kind of like lifetime diaries visual diaries of our dogs these days, which, you know, when it comes to looking back and seeing if there's any difference in movement, that's got to be an advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
About, I mean, there's a couple of things that, I mean, I've had personal experience sort of when it comes to senior dogs developing separation anxiety to where they didn't have it before. One being loss of hearing. So my old girl very gradually went deaf over a number of years and developed separation anxiety in her older years because of the fact that she couldn't hear things. So because she couldn't hear, she would sleep really, really, really deeply to the point where, you'd have to go and poke her to make sure she was still alive. She would sleep so deeply. And of course, because of that, if she didn't see you go, quite often she'd wake up and be in a complete panic because she'd suddenly realise that you weren't where you were when she went to sleep. And then things like noises of normal household noises would become a problem because they were sounding different to us. So things like the dishwasher, we'd have to stop putting that on a night because that would cause anxiety. And, you know, things like that. So loss of hearing and loss of sight can have a big impact on an older dog, and that's something that, again, you would need to work on.
Thinking of it from your dog's perspective, I mean, it can be frustrating to us, but to our dogs, you know, they are sensing the world completely differently. So there's not only that novelty there, like you were saying with the different sounds, but also vulnerability. And so, you know, it kind of makes sense that they would feel a bit more hesitant to be apart from you. So
yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'd end up, if you crept up behind it, you could frighten the life out of her. So it's, you know, and especially for dogs, because scent and hearing are such a big part of their olfactory system, as opposed to sight, which is one of our big things.
Right.
For them, I don't think sight, not so much. Okay. The other one I've got some experience with was the medical conditions that increase the number of vet appointments that an older dog might have, that can also have an effect on anxiety and separation. So when my old girl also had an operation at I don't know, she must have been about 11 at the time, and by then she'd also gone quite deaf, and they, when she'd had her operation, they put her in a crate in the back like they always had done, and when I went to pick her up, she was absolutely distraught. And after that point, it was very, you know, going to the vets became a whole new ball game. And it was, you know, it had undone years and years of her happily going off to the vets, and also made her more clingy and anxious at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that can have an effect, depending on how many times you have to go to the vets because of ailments that come along with old age.
The other thing just to note as well is just their ability as they age to hold their bladder mostly, and a dog that's thoroughly house trained and then you know, can't make it for the 6 hours anymore and, you know, pretty much is forced to have an accident in the house, that can be really, really distressing for many dogs. And so I think that's, you know, something to be aware of and pay attention to as well.
Yeah, I think for some dogs, having an accident is the kind of, you can see they're horrified.
Yeah, so I guess the just kind of considering modifications that we need to make for senior dogs to
make them feel comfortable being home alone.
Right, right. Well, and one of the things, and I think this is true for a lot of dogs, not just senior dogs, but especially senior dogs, is like even just considering the footing, right? Because a lot of senior dogs have, you know, a decreased range of motion or muscle atrophy or things like that. And so walking on slippery floors is even more difficult for them. So having rugs with like some kind of rubber backing or non-slip backing is really important for, or increasingly important for seniors. Just trying to decrease the things that cause them anxiety in their, you know, whether it's deteriorating senses or cognitive decline or, you know, what, or separation anxiety, you know, just trying to look at a more holistic view and do things that will make your dog feel more comfortable and talk to your vet, talk to your vet, talk to your vet.
And yeah, I said,
and furniture is another one as well. Don't move furniture around if you want to keep their anxiety levels nice and low, particularly with more senior dogs. When you move, if you're one of those type of people that likes to move the sofa around every few weeks, that can be incredibly stressful for older dogs. And if you're trying to keep the stress levels low because you want to deal with separation anxiety on top of that, then that's, you know, not moving furniture around can be a big help.
Okay, so if a dog has either cognitive dysfunction or, you know, has developed separation anxiety in its older years, how do we treat it? If we were looking at it in terms of separation anxiety, are we treating it the same way we would with a younger dog with separation anxiety? Is there a different protocol?
The management options for an older dog can be easier because quite often older dogs are easier for other people to look after for you. So if you know, friends or family will quite often happily take an older dog for the afternoon where they might not have taken your young, bouncy, idiotic 2-year-old.
So that's sometimes a good point, Sarah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, but I also think that daycare becomes less of an option, right? Because a lot of dogs become less, so they become more discriminate and like who they want to socialize and play with as they
grumpy
get older.
Old man.
Yeah. And if they're having pain, then they certainly don't want young, energetic dogs jumping all over them either.
No,
so
of course not.
So, you know, you just have to be a little more selective.
Wouldn't you just love to open a senior daycare?
Yeah. It'd be like an awesome job, wouldn't it?
Just have little old doddery dogs.
I think for me personally, it does a little bit depend on the severity of their cognitive decline, because if they're at kind of like a more extreme level, you know, I just wonder how they'll take on the training. And so that's, I mean, something that we can certainly test. But for me, like I hit management, even rely on that more. Yeah. And certainly the training, I think, is the same, but it might, if you're dealing with a dog with cognitive dysfunction, might just go more slowly because of any memory issues they may be having, depending on that. But like a senior dog, like just a senior dog without cognitive dysfunction, I think the training is the same. But if they have like severe cognitive dysfunction, I'm kind of like, do we just want to manage this if the dog can't training? How do you guys deal with that part of it?
No, that's a good point for me, Stacey. If they've got cognitive dysfunction, and maybe they're not holding on and retaining to what they've learned with the safe absences, if we're doing training, separation anxiety training, you're not really going to make much progress, are you? Because let's say they were capable of being home alone for an hour, but then, and you know, they were fine with that, but then the next time you go to do it, they don't remember that they were fine with that. So what are you really gaining? Yeah, so I guess I have to agree with you. I think management would be more relevant for you, for that dog. So thank you for listening to Tales from the Doghouse Separation Anxiety Explained. Today we talked about seniors and separation anxiety. And I think the take-home message is that, first of all, vet check is the most important to rule out cognitive dysfunction, especially if your dog has developed separation anxiety in its later years. So the vet check is really most important. If your dog has cognitive dysfunction, then management is probably one of your key factors in helping your older dog, your senior dog, cope with life in general, really. But you know, the possibility of being left alone, if you can find ways of not letting that happen, especially if your dog gets very, very upset, that's the way forward. I'm Ness Jones. I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded. You can find me on Facebook. And you can also find me on Instagram at @NessJones_.
Hey, I'm Stacey Bell with Focused Fun in the US. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Focused Fun Dogs, and my website is focusedfun.net. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Sarah McLaren, and you can find me at Separation Anxiety Solutions on both Facebook and Instagram and my website. You've been listening to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained, and our wonderful episode all about senior dogs. But don't forget to find us on all good listening apps. That includes Apple, Spotify, Google, Twitcher or Stitcher?
Stitcher. Not Twitcher.
Come and give us a like, give us a review, come and subscribe. 5,000, wonderful. Please listen to us, and thank you for listening to the latest episode. Bye.
Bye.
Till next time. We'll be right back.